right, Cody, where did you decide you wanted to start? What's the big sports takeaway right here on Monday, December 2nd?
What if we change it up a bit this week and talk about the Vols?
Vol hoops? Vol basketball?
No, football.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, change it up a bit.
That's fine with me.
I just saw Eric Gray, Freshman of the Week.
Okay.
SEC Freshman of the Week.
Well deserved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who else are they going to give it to?
Was that a please don't transfer game? Because watching it when it happened, I was like, this feels like a please don't transfer grade game. Like, just give him the ball nonstop.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we know we kind of phased you out during the meat of our schedule, but here, bro, eat. Go to work. And he more than doubled his career output. He had 25 carries for 246 yards. And I believe it was the second longest run in Tennessee football history on the 94-yard touchdown.
94-yarder.
Three of them. It felt like a please don't transfer game to me.
That 94-yarder was a thing of beauty.
Or maybe it was just a, hey, here's a taste of next year. You're going to be our guy next year. Let's go. That was fun. He was the only guy who showed up on the offensive side of the ball during the first half. It was a bad start from the quarterback position. It was pouring rain, and it was a little confusing why Jim Chaney wanted to throw the ball so much in the pouring rain.
Yeah, well, and Garantano's grandma died too, so
yeah,
I think important to keep that in mind.
No one knew that before the game, though. I think that came out afterwards. So.
No, but he didn't play well.
He didn't.
I mean, not that you can just attribute it to that, but
was going through some personal things, and it was also pouring rain. Like, I think both those things matter, and it was. It looked like you're going. Oh no, here comes an ugly Tennessee Vanderbilt game. Is Tennessee going to let them hang around and get some confidence? No. Vanderbilt stinks.
That team's so bad.
Yeah, and then Tennessee was like, let's go ahead and run the ball down their throats, and Tennessee did, and it was a thing of beauty, and Tennessee gets to 7-5, and now you are left thinking about where you go for the bowl game and what you look like next year.
What a way for Juwan Jennings to go out, too.
So what happened there?
Yeah, he just punked out that Vanderbilt player.
Was there a stomp on the head?
I hope so. I hope so. Some people are saying it wasn't intentional. I would be disappointed if it wasn't. And then he made his laps around the field, made his victory lap all the way around the field, one last high five. Just a beautiful way to go out.
Got to lead the band after the game.
Yeah.
Didn't get his 1,000 yards.
He'll get it in the bowl game.
He should be able to get it in the bowl game.
I'm going to miss him.
The story for me, though, of the 2019 season is the defense, though.
They've come a long, long way.
That is the story of the season for me. You could talk about the quarterback position and the growth, the regression, and then the growth there. But for me, the improvement across the board for Tennessee's defense was just pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and what's good is, next year you're going to get most of those guys back.
They allowed 75 less points for the entire season. 335 last year, 260 this year. They allowed 100 less rushing yards, 16 less, I guess I should say 16 fewer plays of 20-plus yards. They had 50 last year, only 34 this year. Had 5 more sacks, 5 more interceptions, and maybe the key here, Cody, the best stat, maybe outside of the points allowed, being 75 points fewer. Last year, Tennessee, in the third quarter, gave up 89 points. So you played, 12 games last year?
Yes.
What's 90 divided by 12? That comes in basically at what? Basically,
12 times 12 times 7 is 72.
7.5, yeah. 7 times 12 is 84. So, yeah, 7.5. 7.5. So, you gave up over a touchdown. You gave up over a touchdown third quarter last year. This year, you gave up 38 points total.
Would it be 8.5?
8 times 12 is 90.
It is. 12 times 6 is 72, and then 84, and then
8 times 12 is 96, yeah.
Right.
So it would not be more than that because 96.
Right.
Yeah.
And half of 12 is 6.
Yeah.
So. Yes. Yes, it is.
So you drop that from 89 to 38. So 51 less points in the third quarter. What is 38 divided by 12?
Oh, God. 3.1. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
So you went from giving up over a touchdown per game in the third quarter to just over a field goal. That is a sign of a good coaching staff. That's a sign of improved players. That's just, like I said, though, that's taking a defense and seeing what an offense is doing on the other side of the ball and saying we're not going to let them do that anymore. That's stout. To give up 51 fewer points in the third quarter, I love that stat.
Yeah. That's a nice stat. And guess who's receiving votes in the coaches poll?
We are?
We are.
How many?
We are receiving a total of 3 votes.
Okay.
In the coaches
poll. There are 3 coaches who have noticed.
We're not receiving votes in the AP poll, but
dumb media. Everyone knows that. Yeah,
journalists, what do they know? Coaches, the guys actually in there, you know, calling the games. They see what Tennessee's doing.
So we showed up. That's probably good for like 38th in the country.
Yeah, 30, something like that.
Yeah.
26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35,
36th. Okay. 36th in the 36th. Country.
36th. Basically, that defense, we're going to lose a good player at each level of it.
You're going to lose Nigel, Batuli,
and Daryl Taylor. So you lose a good player kind of at each level of the defense.
You
but
should.
Taylor's kind of a, you know, he's a hybrid kind of guy.
I count him as defensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
So you're going to lose him, but you're going to get Emmett Gooden back. So, I mean, like, there's a, I don't want to say a fair trade there, but you're going to get, yeah, you're going to get a big body back.
And Toto, a year better. And I think he's going to fill in really nicely at linebacker. J.J. Peterson, maybe you get him at
I
some
don't
point.
Think, yeah, we'll see. I'm not counting.
Pruitt
on,
keeps talking like at some point, you know.
We'll see. We'll see if it clicks with him. I would rather bet my money that you see Crouch move back to the inside linebacker position next to Henry T, and that will be what happens there at your linebacker position. You'll have 2 studs there. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
We should continue to have a pretty good defense, though.
And then you hope that Roman Harrison, a guy they really raved about earlier this year and in camp, you hope that he is able to kind of take Darrell Taylor's spot.
Yeah, and then offensively you lose your tight
end. You lose
3
wide receivers and a tight end and probably Trey Smith.
Yeah, he's going to the NFL.
Maybe your quarterback. Like, we'll see what happens. We'll see what shakes out there with JG.
He's a Vol.
Cody's saying he's all Vol.
He told me.
Okay. There's some inside reporting from Cody McClure. He is all Vol. So you lose 3 wide receivers, a tight end, and most likely Trey Smith. I would say that's should be a foregone conclusion. If I'm that guy, I'm going to go make money while I can. Your wide receivers that you lose, I feel like you can replace. Obviously, we love those guys. They're good. I don't have much concerns about the wide receiver position. I think Keaton will be fine. Johnson. We'll see what D'Angelo Gibbs has. I'm not worried about the wide receiver position. Tight end. Man, it'd be really nice if you get freak freshman Darnell Washington. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
I would enjoy that.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Just to have the next Tony Gonzalez lining up at tight end.
I feel like Tony Gonzalez is underselling him a little bit in terms of like athleticism. Now, obviously, Tony Gonzalez is one of the best tight ends ever.
Yeah, I mean,
either way.
You know what I mean.
I was hoping it'd be like Mike Gronk.
He's the greatest tight end ever. I mean,
Gronk, probably better
than Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, not like career achievements, obviously.
Just physically and
yeah,
matchup problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Gronk's the best ever.
But because of that physicality and all that he couldn't play as long as Tony Gonzalez.
That's
so you got to give
true.
The longevity to Tony Gonzalez. Witten.
Longevity matters.
Witten, I mean, he's in the conversation.
Of what?
He's kind of like those 2 combined. I mean, I think he's in the conversation.
He's not.
The numbers are there. only behind Tony Gonzalez in most categories.
I mean, he's a compiler of sorts. Like, he's got...
Yeah, he's been around. You got to reward the longevity a little bit.
I feel like, though, if, like, you're averaging, like, six or... Like, what is I don't want to, like, pile on Jason Witten. Love Jason
Sounds
Witten,
like you're
obviously.
Really piling on Jason
No, Witten. I'm just saying, like, if you're calling him an all-time great, I think you're really...
I mean, look at the numbers.
I know. Have you looked at the numbers?
Yes. He's second only to Tony Gonzalez in most categories.
Sure, but... Is it eight, you know, 11 yards a catch? I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
If you're not a Vol for life, you can just say it.
It's fun. It's fun. I mean,
the guy's on the back of our scoreboard. You know,
he is a great Vol. Love Jason Witten. East Tennessee boy. I was just simply saying he is not in the conversation for best tight end ever. That's all I was simply saying.
I think he can join the conversation. He's not going to win he's not.
He averaged 50 yards a game, bro.
He can be in that room, though.
Like 51 yards a game. That's his career average.
He can be in that room. If Tony Gonzalez and Gronk are sitting there having coffee and Jason Witten knocks on the door, they're going to let him in the room. They'll talk to him.
Okay.
They'll hang out
with
him.
They'll let him in the room.
He's not going to be the dominant guy in the room, but they're going to let him in.
Okay. Okay.
So you're saying he's like that little brother that mom's like, you got to take him with you?
That's not what I'm saying.
That's the vibe I'm kind of getting from that.
It's fine. Like I said, I respect Jason Witten. Great ball. Longevity, that's important.
Who else is in that room? Darnell Washington, probably.
Darnell Washington,
just
yeah.
Assuming. I mean,
he's going to be there. Yeah. He's going to be in that room.
Yeah.
I'd say Antonio Gates.
Oh, yeah,
he gets
the
in
Chargers.
The door. He gets in the door before Jason Witten.
Great
probably.
Years with the Chargers.
And that's just like from the like the last, you know, since 2000, basically.
Yeah, Travis Kelce.
Kelce might could play his way in there.
I don't know any tight
Kelce's
ends.
Kelce's not as enough of a blocker as those other guys.
I don't know any tight ends from before 2000.
Yeah, like Kellen Winslow Sr., I think a lot of people would say he's in
Kellen
there.
Kellen Winslow Jr.?
No, he doesn't get in. they're not letting him in the door.
He's in a completely different room.
he's going to bust down the door.
They're not letting him.
Oh, he's
not,
getting in there.
They're not letting him in the door.
He's going to get in there. He'll probably be the last one standing.
They're calling security if he gets in.
Hide your grandma's.
It's crazy to me that. I don't want to talk more about the tight ends. It's fine. Never mind. Let's move on.
I mean, it's a conversation we should have at some point.
Not today. We got a lot of stuff going on today.
It's a sports conversation that we've never had before, you know.
Okay.
Who are the elite tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, but if you just want to look at it, I mean, like, again, like, career touchdowns. Jason Witten has 71.
I mean, if you want to make a note of it, we can talk about it in June, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I need some time to research and, you know.
71, and that was, you know, a long career.
Look at some of these old school tight ends.
Since 03, just comparatively speaking, Gronk had 79 in, like, 9 years.
Did Gronk ever beat Arkansas in a 6-overtime game?
He did not. No.
Is Gronk on the back of any scoreboards?
I don't know. Probably not.
Never seen him on one.
Seen him get a couple Super Bowl rings, though.
I mean, he had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
I could get a Super Bowl ring with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
And, you know, it's obvious Brady and Belichick do not miss him at all this year. That offense is perfectly fine without him.
They're coming along.
Yeah, offense does not miss him at all.
They came along in the fourth quarter
in garbage time. They were
they
had Tom Brady out there looking like Blake Bortles last night, trying to get those garbage time stats. That way, the final numbers looked a little better.
I wouldn't call it garbage time.
Yeah, I would 100% call it garbage
time.
They
were in the game.
They were down 19 points, bro.
They were in the game.
They were down 19 with 6 minutes left.
They almost won the game. Get that onside kick, they probably go win the game. That onside kick was, I mean, they very well could have gotten their hands.
Sure.
Guy couldn't get it. If he got it, I mean, they might go win the game. Then do you call it garbage time?
No.
Houston just let up.
Then you just call it a Houston collapse is what you call it.
Well, Houston was close to collapsing.
I was in bed. That's why I know it was garbage time.
Well, I watched every minute of it.
I thought you were watching The Irishman.
No, I was watching the end of Sunday Night Football on my drive. I've told you about YouTube TV.
Okay.
I watch it on my...
I got you.
On my, what do you call it? The vent?
Your dash.
My vent.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I got the thing that hooks to the vent.
Okay.
And I can just watch TV going down the interstate.
Hands free.
Do it all the time. Yeah. Yeah, as long as your hand's free, it's legal,
I don't
right?
think that's... No. You're not allowed to watch stuff.
I mean, what's the difference in watching YouTube TV and watching my Spotify screen?
Usually, typically, people don't watch the Spotify screen, I think, is the difference.
No, but you got to look at it and touch the, you know, shuffle play.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be doing that either, I don't think.
That's so stupid. Everybody does that. What are you gonna? How are you gonna change the song?
Do we know anybody that's gotten pulled over for the hands free thing yet?
No,
I've yet to see anybody get
pulled over.
If
you get pulled over for the hands free thing, that's on you, bro. Like you gotta have a little. You gotta have a little awareness.
Knock on wood.
I will never be pulled over for hands free.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. I mean, learn how to hide it.
Now Tennessee turns their attention to what bowl game they'll get. What matchup? Latest projections have Tennessee going and playing Minnesota. How would you feel about playing Minnesota?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
That's what ESPN, both of their guys say.
Is that a quality enough of a matchup?
Yeah, Outback Bowl against Minnesota. I'll take it. I'd rather play Michigan, but I'll get some of Minnesota.
Okay. Take our chances with Minnesota.
I think it's going to be a challenge, though.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good team.
That'll be one, though, that earns you some respect. That'll be a game that people watch. Like, Minnesota-Tennessee will be something that gets people talking. Seeing how Minnesota finishes the year versus an SEC-quality opponent that's on a win streak, and hopefully Tennessee would be able to win that game. It would really stink to lose to P.J. Fleck and Minnesota.
I think he's a pretty good coach. I mean, I like him okay.
Okay.
They used to just say he was Butch Jones 2.0. Although he did have his quotes after the game.
We had a lot of bad quotes from coaches this weekend.
Yeah.
Between Dabo crying about how no one wants him in the playoff, to your boy Saban crying about how it was unfair that Gus tricked him, to Harbaugh getting testy with people asking him about being outcoached, with Mike Leach crying about recruiting rankings and whatever.
There was a lot of whining.
What did P.J. Fleck say? His didn't even register to me. What did he say?
I'll have to go back and look.
Did he call themselves like co-champions of that division or whatever?
No, he said, look, we're not going to the national championship. We're not going to the Rose Bowl, you know, but that's on me. That's on me. And we are doing this. We got something to play for. And, you know, I don't know. I'll have to go back and look at it.
I saw someone say he like was talking about how they were the co-champions of that division. Like, you can't say that if you lose the home game, bro.
No, he was just talking about how they changed the culture and, like, they're not going to go back to being the old Minnesota.
We'll never go back to that again.
I don't have a problem if that's what he said.
Yeah.
Old Minnesota sucked. If he's saying, hey, this is going to be us year in, year out playing big games, like, I don't have a problem with that. And it didn't register on my radar of all the bad things coaches said this weekend.
And there was somebody else who it was a player. Who am I thinking of? The player that was just like, Sam Ellinger, the Texas quarterback. Do you see what
he
said?
Oh, yeah, when he was talking about.
Oh, his might have been the worst.
When he was talking about how if you'd have told Texas fans they could have won 7 games and had a chance to win 8 in the ballgame, everyone would have taken that. And everyone's just like, no, bro.
Talk about no self-awareness at all.
Especially when you're the guy after the ballgame last year talking about how you're back. Like you grabbed a microphone in front of a country and said, we're back. Like, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work.
Just such a low standard. 7 wins. He acts like it's okay. If I was a Texas fan, I would be irate at that comment.
Can't believe I got on radio and said that 8 times 12 is 90.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Then we worked through it a second. I mean, I just really meant it's over 90. So I was like, I was really just trying to say, like, it's.
See, that confused 89. Me. That's why I was confused, because I knew 12 times 6 is 72.
Okay.
Which that's kind of where my brain stopped, and then I had to start adding on.
Also, you're blaming me for your mistake.
Well, no, because I knew it was 72, and then
you had said the 8 part, and I was like, no, because 12 times 8 is over 90, but I said 90.
I would have known it was 96, because 12 times 4 is 48, and then all you got to do is double that.
Yeah. And obviously, like, 12 times 10 is 120.
People don't understand when you're thinking on the spot, it's not so easy. When everything is just, you know what I mean?
When you have thousands of people listening to you.
Like, obviously, somebody, because we got to keep talking and keep thinking about other things. Obviously, somebody sitting in the car says, that's not true. 12 times 8 is not 90. But he can just sit there and think through it, you know? We don't have that much time to do that.
I know 12 times 8 is not 90, just for the record, everybody.
Well, you didn't know it earlier, but now you do.
I did know it, because I know 12 times 7 is 84. Like, I know that. I'm good at multiplication. It's just I didn't finish the part of over 90.
I mean, technically, you're right. 12 times 8 is 90 at least.
Yeah, plus 6.
You know, it does equal 90.
And we were just trying to get above 89, so I was like, it can't be 8.5 over 12 games because 12 times 8 is.
Did I say it was 8.5?
Yeah.
You said it was 7.5?
Cam said it was 7.5. And then you said, wouldn't it be 8.5?
Was
and
I right?
Said, no.
Okay.
You were not because, again, 12 times 8 is 90 plus.
Right, 96.
90 plus.
Okay. So it was like 7.5.
Yeah. We'll wrap up college football next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. College football weekend. It was one of those extended weekends. You had some Friday action and some Saturday action. Cody, what were your biggest takeaways from it?
From Saturday?
Just from the college football weekend. Throw the Egg Bowl in there. Throw Friday's action. Shout out to Bronco Mendenhall, who you once said was nowhere near as good as Butch Jones.
Did I mean, I don't know if I said it in those specific terms.
You basically did.
I kind of did. Yeah, I was wrong.
Bronco Mendenhall deserves an apology.
I was wrong on that one. My apologies to Bronco Mendenhall. I just really didn't like his name. Yeah, the Egg Bowl, I mean, we can start there with the Egg Bowl. I felt really bad for, I mean, I didn't really feel bad for him, but for Ole Miss to lose like that, I mean, that sucks. I felt bad for the guy who did that, the celebration. You know, acting like he was peeing on a hydrant or something.
Yeah.
A fire hydrant. And then everybody, you know, of course, had to be so creative and, oh, they pissed the game away, you know.
Yeah.
To me, it's more so about the penalty. Like, you got all these people, of course, that are just, oh, it's classless. It's just, it's horrible. Why would he do that? I'm just like, why does that have to be a penalty? I mean, in the NFL, you could do it. I mean, who's he hurting?
Odell did it once, and I think he at least got fined.
Yeah, Odell did that when he was with the Giants.
I think it's silly.
Got Matt Luke fired.
Well,
if they win that game, he probably doesn't get fired. So that player doing that caused them to miss the extra point. The kicker missing the extra point caused them to lose the game, and that kind of caused Matt Luke to get fired because I don't think he does if they are 5-7. And beat their biggest rival on the road. So, oops.
Apparently, their players are very upset about it, too.
Yeah, the reports coming out of Oxford is that up to 40 players stormed out of the meeting with the athletic director. And many people were talking about transferring and leaving and how they're not going through another situation where house gets cleaned. They're not going through that. They're going to go.
I don't blame them, really. I mean, those Ole Miss players have been through a lot when it comes to that.
We'll see. If they're able to go get Mike Norvell, that probably he could probably convince most of them to stay. If they miss on Mike Norvell, they'll have to go to option 2. Who knows? That was a big takeaway. Oklahoma beating Oklahoma State, Ohio State. I was surprised at how well Michigan moved the ball in the first half on them, except Michigan just kept doing dumb things. They looked like a poorly coached football team. They just kept making dumb errors.
Yeah.
And, you know, they really went toe-to-toe with Ohio State in that first half, yet somehow found themselves trailing by 12 at halftime.
It felt so much closer than that.
Yeah.
I mean, there were opportunities. Shea Patterson had the fumble. You know, they had the offside penalty or the false starts. They had
the offsides on the 4th and 4 on the punt.
Well, like you were saying, I mean, they were playing like a dumb football team. That's what they looked like. And if it weren't for that, it felt like they should have really been in the game, at least in the first half.
Yeah.
You know, but they weren't.
I mean, missing an extra point after the opening touchdown. Like, it was just every time they would do something good, they would follow it up with something stupid. And, you know, it doesn't feel like Michigan's going to beat Ohio State anytime soon.
Nah, they're nowhere near ready for that. I thought maybe they had a chance, you know, Harbaugh didn't, you know, without Urban Meyer, maybe he can get one over on Ryan Day.
That was the talk all offseason was like, if you can't beat them this year at home, when Urban's gone, are you ever going to do it? And turns out no. Like, turns out Ohio State is still a lot better than you and better coached And, you know, again, this one was at Michigan. I doubt they turn around and win next year in Columbus. So it might be a while. This might get into a double-digit streak type of thing, which makes me feel a little bit better about our futility against Florida and Alabama. A little bit.
So is Michigan now, are they 9-3?
They're 9-3.
See, I would rather play them, honestly, than Minnesota. Yeah.
Maybe we will. Like the Minnesota thing, you know, these bowl projections don't take into account the business side of things. I think they're just trying to more match up, like, who's equal in each conference, because, you know, not many people had Tennessee going to the Taxpayer Bowl when we went 6-6. I mean, that was, you know, we were almost in the Liberty Bowl at that point, headed to Memphis, like, to the point where people were buying tickets to the Liberty Bowl because there was, like, a leak that people thought was official, and turns out, no, the Taxpayer Bowl is like, no, we want Tennessee.
Yeah, just because they say, you know, that's a prediction does not mean that's where it will end up.
So I could see the Gator or the Tax or the Gator or the Outback Bowl looking and saying, we want Tennessee, Michigan. We want two big time programs with two big time fan bases. I don't know if Minnesota fans would travel to Florida to play a bowl game. Probably. I would say they would. But I know Michigan fans will, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, apparently the stat coming out of the Iron Bowl that's circulating around is now that Nick Saban is 0-7 when playing at Jordan-Hare with both teams ranked. Nick Saban does not win that matchup when both teams are ranked.
0-7?
Yeah, so I'm guessing maybe it goes back to his LSU days.
Oh, yeah.
Because I guess it's a Nick Saban stat, I guess, and not just a Alabama stat. It's just Nick Saban doesn't win at Auburn when both teams are ranked.
Hmm.
That's a stat ESPN put out, so I assume it's true.
Yeah, safe to assume, I guess. I mean, it felt like kind of a historic loss.
What do you mean historic?
For Saban. Well, it felt like kind of a maybe it is coming to an end.
What the hell? I just said that to open the show, and you argued with me.
I don't know.
You that easily convinced, or you just didn't want to give me the benefit of the doubt?
I don't know. I'm trying to work through it. I don't know if it is or not.
Are you okay about it? We've had some listeners ask how you feel about the dynasty
crumbling.
Stop that.
I don't care. I'm not a fan of Alabama. That's ridiculous. It's a tired narrative. But
find a new slant.
You find a new slant, bro. But the thing is, they do have a really young defense. Mm-hmm. You know?
They got an old offense, though.
They're young. They're without. Well, I mean, they didn't have their quarterback. They're without.
I don't think they're going to have him next year.
Most of their linebackers. No, but they'll have a whole offseason to prepare. I don't know. I think it's a little dangerous to shut the door on Alabama, but at the same time, it does look like they're losing games they've never lost. I don't know. I don't know if it's over or not.
Who said that Alabama's in play next year first? That was me. 8 straight games for Alabama. We're coming off a bye week. We're at home.
We're not going to beat Alabama next year.
Just note who said it was in play.
It's not going to happen. And everybody's going to get their hopes up all offseason.
It's fun.
It's not going to happen.
Also note that I was right about 9-3. I'm taking the win on that.
We might start playing them closer now. Mm-hmm. You can't take the win on that.
I'm taking the win on
9-3. It's a 12-game season.
The point was it was a 9-3 schedule. It was a 9-3 schedule.
Well, we didn't go 9-3.
Well, bro, we should have.
We went 7-5, which is what I predicted.
You predicted 3-5 in the SEC, though. So
no, I didn't.
You thought we were going to lose to BYU and Georgia State?
Actually, I said we were going to go 8-4. I said 8-4.
Okay.
So
I said we were going 5-3 in the SEC, and that's what happened. I'm taking the win.
You can't take the win on
that. I'm taking it.
The overall 5-3
in the SEC, bro. I said 5-3 in the SEC.
While I do agree with you that it should have been a 9-3 team, I would agree with you.
I was right.
But you can't take credit for that.
I'm taking 80% credit.
You could maybe take.
My SEC record was correct.
You might get half credit.
No one in a million years would have predicted us to lose to Georgia State, bro. That was throw that one out the window.
Well, you got to add it to your prediction.
No. No one in the world predicted that.
Someone could have.
No one.
I'll give you half credit.
80% credit.
I'll give you half credit. That's as good as you're going to get from me. I don't know if Alabama's done.
And I'm not saying they're done, but the days where they're clearly at the top are over.
It looked like Saban
That's
got
over.
Out. It looked like he very clearly got out coached.
Saban sucks now.
He got out coached.
He stinks now. 3 straight games he's gotten whipped on the sideline.
Yeah.
3 straight.
Well, three that matter.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
well, 3 games where the talent was even close to equal.
Yeah.
He got blown out.
I don't know about
blown out by Clemson. LSU could have scored 100 on them if they wanted to. And Auburn, with Bo Nix, who sucks, just had their way with them.
Also on that Auburn stat, they're actually now 0-8 against Auburn teams that have finished with 9 wins.
Alabama's or Saban?
Saban. Okay. So that goes to LSU as yeah. well, but yeah.
It's the first time that they've lost more than one game in the regular season since 2010.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also, did you realize
the decline is here?
The last time that a Nick Saban coached team gave up that many points was in 1999
mm-hmm.
when he was coaching at Michigan State.
It's a wrap, bro.
I don't know.
Except reality.
I kind of.
The Patriots are done. Alabama's done. The Golden State Warriors are done. All three dynasties end together. What do they always say, Cam? These things come in threes. There they are. I just gave you all three of them.
You tried to say the Patriots were done last year.
They should have been.
And
if
they weren't.
If D4 didn't jump off sides like a dummy, it would have been over.
I think you just want it to happen.
The Patriots dynasty is done. It is a wrap. And of course, this
they won
is the year.
The Super Bowl last
this is
year.
The year I put a bet on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. Nice.
They won the Super Bowl last year.
I don't care. It's a wrap.
It's not a wrap.
Are they winning it this year?
They looked as bad.
Are they winning
last
it this year?
They looked as bad last year.
Do you think
at
that
times,
team's going into Baltimore
at
and winning? Because now they're heading into Baltimore.
I don't know that they're going to have to go to Baltimore. Baltimore could still lose one.
The Patriots can still lose one.
We'll have to look at the schedules.
Well, they
see
got
how
the
they
Chiefs. It's a bad time to play the Chiefs when your offense can't score.
I don't think that they're going to win in Baltimore.
Okay.
I think they'll need home field advantage.
They ain't going
to
have it.
I'm not ready to write them off, though. I'm not going to write off the Patriots. If you want to be
put
that
on a
guy,
list, mark it off.
You want to be that guy that just says Bill Belichick can't stop Lamar Jackson, then you be that guy.
I'm not worried about them not being able to stop Lamar Jackson. I'm worried about them not being able to score. You talk about that Super Bowl, they scored 13 points in it, bro.
They need to get the offense figured out around,
yeah.
around Tom Brady.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Tom Brady's looking around, and I don't want to pile on Tom Brady.
Sounds like you're piling on Tom
Brady. I don't want to pile on him exclusively because I'm looking around. I'm like, why did you cut Josh Gordon again? Why did you cut Antonio Brown? Like, you don't have any receivers, bro. You have no one that can get open. Like, Brady stinks now. Don't get me wrong. He's throwing 6 yards wide on all these throws.
I mean, he's struggling. Do we have to say he sucks now?
I don't think when you're 42 you can say you're struggling. I think you just say, uh-oh.
Are we sure that Tom Brady officially sucks? Is that the stance?
He's washed.
I'm not saying Tom Brady officially sucks.
He is an average quarterback now.
I'm not saying Bama's done, and I'm not saying the Patriots are done.
Tom Brady, average quarterback at best now.
This seems borderline reckless to me. If you're going to group Bama with the Patriots
and the
say
Warriors,
they're both done.
And the Warriors, well, all three of them
the
done.
The Warriors are clearly done. They lost their whole team.
Oh, well.
But
if you're, the Patriots. The whole offense is gone.
If you're going to say the Patriots and Bama are both clearly done, I don't think I can agree.
It's a wrap.
I don't think so.
The Patriots don't need to worry about getting to the Super Bowl. They need to worry about not losing the division to the Bills.
Oh, come on.
Bills only a game behind.
Come on. Losing the division to the Bills.
They better be careful about that.
Well, they're going to be able
that
to
Bills team looked pretty good on Thanksgiving. That Bills team was pretty stout. Let's talk NFL next. Hour one's in the books. We'll come back with hour two headlines. All right. Let's put a bow on week 13, at least the Sunday edition of the NFL weekend. Cody, what was your biggest takeaway coming out?
Biggest takeaway coming out of the NFL weekend was probably that the 49ers and the Ravens are both really good, and that could be a preview for the Super Bowl. I don't think you came out of that game feeling worse about either of those teams. The Ravens won 20-17, but it was a close game, and the Niners' defense still looked good.
I'll say that my biggest concern coming out of that game was Jimmy Garoppolo for the 49ers. That would worry me a little bit. Him in big games, he played okay. But
it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, they were up 7-0, and he has a pretty bad fumble that set the Ravens up for their first touchdown. He was playing in the rain and, you know, 15 of 21 for a 165 and a touchdown, so was fine, I guess. And the 49ers have so many damn running backs that they can just go with the hot hand. No Matt Breida yesterday. Tevin Coleman was useless, so Raheem Mostert ended up carrying the ball 19 times for 146 yards and a touchdown. That was a promising sign. Yesterday you saw the two best running attacks in the NFL. And
a couple of really good offensive lines.
And a couple of guys who make plays. The 49ers defense was up to the task of stopping Lamar. But again, it was in the rain, so I'm not going to like take too much about it from the quarterbacks. Because like I said, Jimmy G looked a little shaky. Lamar only threw for 105 yards on 23 attempts. That's bad. But he runs for 100 yards and a touchdown, so he still finds a way to make plays. And then Justin Tucker was there hitting a field goal to win the game.
The Ravens had a really good game plan for Kittle. They really locked him down.
Yeah, they shut down George Kittle. He only had, two catches for 17 yards and one rush for -3. So the 49ers are a different team with George Kittle.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't have a productive day touching the ball, but I'm assuming that he was blocking really well if they ran for 174 yards.
They
but they took him out
blocks.
Of the they took him out of the passing game for sure.
Yeah. They put the Marlon Humphreys on him, which I think the Marcus Peters thing is huge there. If they can do that, move their like one of their top corners, put him on him, and still have a decent guy on the outside.
You agree with Cody that might be a NFL Super Bowl preview?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They both look – I both trust them more than I do the Patriots right now and even the Chiefs, even though their defense looked good this week. But
Chiefs defense has sneakily looked really good the last, like, month and a half. Their pass defense especially, I think, ranks in the top five in the NFL. Now, a little bit of that is, like, 2017 Vols that were so bad stopping the run that like nobody ever threw on them.
Yeah.
So we put out the stats about how they're like the top rated secondary in the SEC. Yeah. Like there might be a little bit of that going with the Chiefs, but their secondary ranks in the top five. And you know, yesterday the Raiders couldn't do anything on them through the air or on the ground. I mean, I guess Josh Jacobs had 100 yards fairly quickly, but you know they weren't getting big plays and they weren't scoring touchdowns, and then the Chiefs just run off and leave you, and then you can't run the ball anymore. So the Chiefs' defense has gotten better.
Yeah, big day for the Chiefs in the 4 o'clock window. And another team to keep an eye on down the stretch here, the Cincinnati Bengals, as they get their first win. Andy Dalton returns, throws for 243 yards. They beat the Jets 22-6.
Good for Andy Dalton.
Good for the Bengals.
Felt good for Andy Dalton. The rest of the Sunday takeaways, I mean, we already talked about the Eagles choking. We saw the end of the Cleveland Browns season as they – I mean, if you're Freddie Kitchens, bro, you can't show up as the head coach wearing a T-shirt that says Pittsburgh started it and then turn around and lose to a third-string quarterback. Like, we all agree on that, right?
Freddie Kitchens did what?
He showed up to the game wearing a Browns T-shirt. It was a gray and – orange for the Browns,
right?
And it said Pittsburgh started it, referencing the fight on Thursday Night Football.
He wore that.
That shirt to the game,
not on the sidelines.
Yes,
that would be even better.
But to the game,
okay.
And then they turned around and blew a 10-0 lead to a third string quarterback. Like if you're Freddie Kitchens, bro, if you're gonna be one of the boys, you're gonna be one of the guys, and you're gonna be rah rah and hey, look, guys, look at my shirt. Like, make sure your team has your back and doesn't come out and lose to a third string quarterback. Can you do that?
Yeah,
because now you look like a clown.
Yeah, Devlin Hodges.
Now you look like a clown for blowing a 10-0 lead to somebody named Duck Hodges.
I hate that guy just because of his name.
When your number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, goes 18 of 32 for 196 yards, one touchdown, one interception, you look pretty silly when you let Pittsburgh dominate you like that, and they spotted you 10 points, and then proceeded to beat you 20-3, and end your season. And you only scored 13 points while having Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, two of the best running backs in the NFL, Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. You look like a clown whenever you blow a 10-0 lead with that much talent against a third-string quarterback. A team that didn't even have Juju Smith-Schuster or James Conner. Like, they're down their two best skill players and two quarterbacks, and they still beat you. We spent so much time this offseason talking about the Cleveland Browns. So much time.
Did we?
Everyone. When I say we, I mean everyone. Like, everyone talked about them. They were on all the, you know, GQ magazine, talked, you know, most bet on team to win the Super Bowl. You bought into it, said they're winning the division, making the playoffs.
I don't think I did.
Check the board bet. You had it on there. You lost a board bet because of it.
No, I don't think I bought into them, really.
You did. You were Baker's biggest fan.
I might have at one point, but I think I changed my mind before the season started.
Right after the Titans smacked them week one.
No, I think it was before the season started.
The Titans beat that take out of you.
I think the board bet was already locked in, but I changed my mind before the season started. Pretty sure I said the Ravens would win the division. Big day for the Rams, 34-7 over the Cardinals. Goff, 424 through the air.
Too little, too late for the Rams.
I mean, they could still get to the...
They can't.
They can, you know.
They can't. The teams are chasing are all clear ahead of them.
Mathematically, they can't?
I mean, yeah, mathematically they can, but they're going to have to win out, and like the Vikings are going to have to go like 1-3 down the stretch, I think, is what it looks like.
Yeah. It's not likely.
Because, I mean, the Seahawks and 49ers are both 10-2. Or I guess the Seahawks are 9-2 with a chance to go 10-2 tonight.
I'd still like to just finish strong. You know,
at least. It's not like you got to worry about your first-round draft pick because you don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, don't show that you've – don't quit. Don't quit just because you're not in it.
And Cody, you did pick the Browns to win the division.
Right. Like, I might have at some point, but I think I'm almost certain that I decided against that by the time we got to the season.
Again, week one after the Titans smacked the Browns, you're like, you know what, this was a big mistake.
No, I think it was before that.
Otherwise, you had some teams like the Panthers just go ahead and knock themselves out of the playoff race. Abysmal performance by the Raiders. Chargers maybe in the Phillip Rivers era with a perfect pass interference to stop the clock and lose to the put the Broncos in field goal range and lose that game. And then, yeah, we kind of talked about what the Patriots did in Houston as Houston sets up an 8-4 record right now with a chance to, I guess maybe get as high as the 2 seed. We'll see. They now own the tiebreaker over the Patriots, but they're going to have to hold off my Titans. We'll talk about that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Guys, I'm only going to...
Well, Cody, I told you all week what was going to happen. I told you we were loading up, headed to Indianapolis, and going to right the wrongs of the past couple years, or like past decade or so. I told you what was going to happen. And my Titans went up there, Cody, and they did it. They won. Ryan Tannehill continues his ascent to top four AFC quarterback. Is there any disagreement at this point? Has anybody came up with four names better?
Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. Tom Brady.
No.
Patrick Mahomes.
I'll give you Mahomes. Deshaun Watson, whatever, sometimes. Sometimes he has, sometimes he's not. But I'll concede
Tannehill
that.
Ryan Tannehill is not better than Tom Brady. Tom Brady just.
Ryan Tannehill is 100% better than Tom Brady in 2019.
Brady, he does not.
It's 2019. We're not doing a career achievement award anymore.
He's lost a lot of weapons. Brady needs more weapons. It's not Brady that's bad. It's the weapons and the protection.
Yeah.
Did you know the Patriots have only had one offensive lineman this season to start every game? They've been shuffling around all over their O-line. Protection's hurting. Brady's having to move around the pocket.
Man.
And his receivers are not good.
Oh,
he doesn't have good
shucks.
Receivers. The Titans really have better receivers.
Really hate to hear that.
Titans have better receivers and better protection.
No.
Ryan Tannehill is not better than Tom Brady.
The Titans have given up 49 sacks this year, most in the NFL. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
They are not.
The Titans have zero protection.
Is not better than Tom
the
Brady.
Titans have zero protection. They've given up 49, it might be 47
sacks.
They've
had more consistency on their O-line than the Patriots have.
Yeah, consistently bad in pass protection on the offensive line. Yet Ryan Tannehill just comes out and slings touchdowns.
So we just don't count those Mariota sacks?
We are counting those Mariota sacks.
Okay, because Mariota held onto the ball too long and took a lot of those sacks.
No, through six starts, I think it's 24 sacks for Mariota, 23 for Tannehill.
Who's been sacked more times this season, Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill?
Probably Tannehill. I don't know if Tom Brady's been sacked 23 times. That seems like a lot for the Patriots.
It's not just
Tom Brady throws the ball away a second.
First of all, it's not all about sacks. It's about having to move around the pocket and not being able to – quarterback hurries sometimes can count just as much as a sack. Okay. So don't come on here with the Titans have the most sacks.
They
There's
do.
Other things involved. Quarterback hurries, pressures that are not sacks. Tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about.
You don't. When it comes to the Titans, they've got the most sacks
in the
NFL. You
know the Titans have better receivers than the Patriots. You got to admit
Titans
that.
Are better than the Patriots. Yes, you're
you
right.
You got to admit
the
receivers
Titans are better than
the
Patriots.
Better.
You are right. We are a better team.
But Ryan
the Titans
Tannehill
are better,
not a better quarterback
the Titans
than Tom
are a better
Brady.
Team. Derrick Henry's better than anybody they have in the backfield. Ryan
right.
Tannehill's better than Tom Brady.
Right.
Yes.
More weapons all around.
We are a better football
Ryan
team.
Ryan Tannehill
yes.
is not a better quarterback
I don't know
than
why
Tom
you
Brady.
Act, I don't know why you act as if the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl when you're just talking about how bad they are. Yes, I understand.
I'm not saying they're
going to win
the Super Bowl.
Brady has been sacked 21 times.
When did yeah. I say they're going to win the Super
so
Bowl?
So Ryan Tannehill has been sacked more than Tom Brady. Okay.
Can you
thank
find
you.
Me quarterback hurries, quarterback
you,
pressures?
Thank you, Cameron.
Let's look at the next-gen stats, okay? It's not all about sacks. There are other things involved.
Thank you, Cameron.
Point is,
my Titans have
Brady's been under a lot of pressure.
Ryan Tannehill has lost less games than Tom Brady this year. 1-2.
Who are you taking on a game-winning drive?
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, you're going to lose the game.
Ryan Tannehill.
You're going to lose the game. You just want to write off Tom Brady so bad. You want so bad for his career to be over.
I'm just doing
just
the,
because he's old.
I'm just doing the proper
the
thing.
Ageism.
No.
The ageism displayed by you
I'm just
when it
doing
comes
the,
to talking quarterbacks is sickening.
I'm just doing
thing.
The proper thing. As Buckethead tweets in, at this point in time, right now, Monday, December 2nd, at lunch, Tana Thrill over Brady. Agree.
All you Titans fans are going to look really stupid in February.
I know. Whenever we
are not anywhere
going
near
head-to-head,
the Super Bowl.
Going head-to-head with the 49ers. It's going to be
You're
tough.
You're all
going to
look really
Tannehill,
stupid.
Tannehill might get exposed against the 49ers in the Super Bowl. You're right. That will be tough.
Come playoff time.
That will be tough if the 49ers expose him. I'll have to eat my humble pie at that point. I will feel pretty stupid in February.
The Titans in the Super Bowl.
You said that whenever we said the Titans are going to win over 8 games, too.
We're sitting at seven right now. I'm still standing by it.
7 right now.
You still got to win 2 more, big boy. You got to play the big Texans
yeah.
a couple times.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else, but you can't say that on the radio.
Okay. I'm not concerned with the Texans.
You should be.
We're headed to Oakland this week. We're going to kick the Raiders' ass. Then we get Drew Brees outside in December. I'll take my chances there.
You should be concerned with Houston, given that it's your father city. Titans couldn't even have their own franchise. They had to go get Houston's. How does it feel for your franchise to not really be Tennessee born and bred?
Superior. They chose us.
Oh, yeah.
They looked and said, we got to get out of Houston. We're going to Nashville.
Be a lot cooler if...
We want to go to Tennessee.
Be a lot cooler if back in the 60s, they said, this is where we want to franchise.
I'm sure the Baltimore Nashville. Ravens are really whining about that as they are the number one team in the AFC.
Titans fans are really so annoying.
You're upset now because...
I'm not upset. You Titans fans are annoying.
You wanted this Colts victory. You wanted me to come in here sad. You wanted me to be
heartbroken.
I didn't
want you to be sad.
Leaving Indianapolis.
I didn't want you
to go up there and be devastated on the way back. Instead, top 4 AFC quarterback Ryan Tannehill, undisputed top 4 AFC quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
I'm just saying, all you Titans
I'd probably
fans
rank
do,
him
you
number
just,
3.
You brag
honestly.
About beating the inferior. Just
I'm not bragging about
well,
nothing.
I mean, what have the Titans done?
1-5 of their last 6 games
against who?
The Chiefs, the Colts, the Chargers, the Bucks.
Yep.
The Jaguars.
Exactly.
Uh huh.
Go beat the Ravens. Go to New England and beat the Patriots.
We've beaten better teams than New England's beaten.
Go beat the Texans.
We've beaten better teams than New England's beaten.
You hadn't beaten the Texans.
We haven't played them yet. We ain't lost to them.
Yeah, you got to play them twice. Good luck with that.
2 wins.
2 wins. You'd be lucky to split.
Here are the facts.
Be real lucky to split.
The Titans special teams is elite. I don't think anyone could argue that.
Can you not just be humble?
If
Titans fans could just be humble when they win, they would be a lot less annoying.
This is not me being braggadocious. Cam, I'm stating facts. The Titans special teams is elite. We have the best punter in football. Brett Kern is the best punter in football. We have blocked 3 kicks. We've blocked 3 field goals the last 3 games. We beat the Chiefs with a blocked field goal. We beat the Colts with a blocked field goal. We blocked another one of their field goals. The special teams... Is elite.
You hear what you're doing, though? You're trying to convince everybody else.
I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything.
That's the thing. This Titans fans always got to try to convince absolutely everybody. Absolutely
not. There are two choices
Take us
here.
Seriously.
No, there
Take
are two.
Take us seriously.
There are two choices here. Get on the train or get ran over by the train because the train's not stopping. Yeah. Nothing stops it.
Exactly.
Nothing stops it. Top four AFC quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, the best running back in the AFC.
You're the perfect
One of the three
spokesman.
Best running backs in the entire NFL. King.
Oh, my God.
Derrick Henry. All hell. King. Derrick Henry. In his past 16 games, 319 carries, first in the NFL. 5.41 yards per carry. 18 rushing touchdowns. Cam, first in the NFL. And 1,946 total yards, second in the NFL.
Bet you really enjoyed that long touchdown run he had against the Vols when he played for Alabama.
Derrick
pointed
Henry.
At our crowd.
Bow down and kneel before the King, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry would be the leading rusher since week 9, Cameron, if he didn't gain a single yard in the first half. How's that for a stat?
He's an Alabama.
He is a Tennessee Titan.
He chose the Crimson Tide over the Vols.
Because we were in Adidas.
Remember.
He didn't like Adidas. He wanted to wear Nike. He almost came to Tennessee.
Yeah, well, he didn't because he wanted to be a part of the
he
Alabama
wanted to be
Crimson
a winner.
Tide.
He wanted to be a winner. I have no shame with that. You know why? Because Derrick Henry is a winner. All hell.
You're sick.
King Henry.
Disgusting.
How's that for a stat?
You're the perfect spokesman
How's that for, a stat?
For the
Would
Titans.
Would be the leading rusher in the NFL if he was only playing second halves. He only needs half the game.
You make me hate the Titans.
You can hate them or you can love them.
If it weren't for
but
you.
But you're damn sure going to respect them by the time
January
rolls around.
If it weren't for your lack of humility. If it weren't for your lack of humility, I might be able
Hush
to root
peasant.
For
them. Hush peasant. Hush peasant.
Exactly.
Kneel down before King
you see,
Henry.
I have a crown
you
in my car if you want one.
I'm not the king and Henry's not here. We need a graphic maybe to put on the screen from now on when we speak of King Henry. Please warn Oakland. The peasants in Oakland, what is coming for them?
I hope he breaks his big muscular leg.
He doesn't need it. He just needs one leg, just as the same as he only needs one half of football to be the leading rusher since week 9. All hell! King Henry. Christian McCaffrey, peasant. Saquon Barkley, peasant. Todd Gurley, who you said was going to have more fantasy points.
Who are you forgetting?
Peasant. Who?
Go ahead, throw Alvin Kamara in.
Alvin Kamara, peasant.
Taking Derrick Henry over Alvin Kamara.
100%.
How can you call yourself a
100 ball? Times out of 100.
You can't even call
Alvin
yourself
Alvin Kamara was also a Bammer. People forget that.
Yeah, but he left to come here. He left to come be with us.
He got
now
kicked
he's a
out.
Saint?
All hell!
Cam, do not
King
side
Henry.
With him. Please.
Ezekiel Elliott.
We got enough.
Peasant.
There's enough Titans in this studio as it is.
Top four AFC quarterback and the best running back.
Don't you remember how he gloated
in the entire conference
after he beat your Falcons? Don't you remember how braggadocious he was?
Cam did the right
thing. That's the thing with the Titans fans. They just please take us seriously.
Cam did the right
please.
Thing.
That's
Cam,
the Titans fans, we matter. We matter. We really do.
That's not what's happening here. This is me simply decreeing that King Henry is coming for Oakland. Cameron did the right thing. Cameron saw up close and personal, and he bent the knee. We spared his life, and now Cam is an honorary Titan.
I'm honored. Thank you for helping accelerate our draft pick rebuild process.
You're welcome, Cameron. All hell, King Henry, and your Tennessee Titans.
It's just
bend the knee, Cody.
You just make it impossible.
Sooner or later, you will bend the knee.
A dose of humility, and I could root for you,
Oakland.
But you come on here, and
you're
you
next. The train. Rolls on to Oakland. Cameron, pop quiz.
You don't see me.
Is Oakland
like
stopping this train?
No! Choo-choo!
Nothing stops this train.
You don't see me acting like this when the Rams win.
Because you don't really like the Rams. You're a Bears fan.
The Rams won. You don't see me acting like this.
8-5. Here we come. We're the team no one wants to play right now. When December rolls around, people don't want to tackle Derrick Henry. All hell, King Henry.
You're really down on your knees for him, aren't you?
No, that's you. You're the one bending the knee.
I will not.
Not me.
Knee.
I'm his...
You've already bent the knee.
I'm in his squire.
You've already bent both knees. You know what I mean.
I don't. What do you mean?
You know.
Hush, you peasant! And just embrace King Henry. Feels good. Big Monday Night Football game tonight. We'll talk about it next.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
I want to take a snapshot now that we are through another college football season. This Chris Peterson news, him being gone. Who do you consider the top coaches now? Because, I mean, like, if you look at who the most successful teams are this year, I mean, Dabo, he's an OG to the club. Dabo's been in the best college coaches club. Are we willing to put Ed Orgeron and Ryan Day up there? Because those guys are both going to be in the playoff. Those guys are both, you know, LSU's 7-point favorites in the SEC championship. Ohio State's 17-point favorites over Wisconsin.
Let's see what Coach O does against Kirby first.
You think Georgia's got a shot in that game?
I do.
Really?
I do. I think that that's going to be a good game. I think Georgia's good enough defensively to make that a game. It'll be a close game.
And if you're looking at who has more to play for, Georgia has made more to play for.
Yes, they do.
LSU already has their spot locked up. If you are a conspiracy theorist, the SEC would be behooved to let Georgia win that game to get two teams in the playoff.
Yeah, and I think it could happen. I mean, I really root for – I mean, I don't really know if I should. If I want
are you
about
to say you're going to root for Georgia in the SEC?
No, absolutely not. Okay. God, no. I was going to say I kind of root for LSU, and I don't know if I should say that since we're in the same conference.
Oh, no, it's fine to root for LSU.
I mean, we didn't
win the championship
them.
Or to win to the whole championship?
I mean, we didn't play them this year. I mean, we don't – they're on the other side of the
– Yeah, I don't know if you can say that.
I really like Joe Burrow.
Yeah, okay.
And I like that camera work they did.
Inspired that camera by was my, awesome.
Inspired by my favorite director, Martin Scorsese.
Whose movie you couldn't even stay awake for.
I'm going to watch it when I get home.
Maybe. I've heard bad things.
Yeah, I heard the last hour and a half drags.
Yeah, I've heard.
I mean, it's
all the concerns that I had, I've kind of heard from the people I listen to and people I read, just like, it's not believable, old-ass Robert De Niro throwing somebody out of the bar and stomping him, just kind of like, he can barely walk. Like,
I would expect you to probably have that take. I've heard a lot of good things about it
okay.
from people that like Scorsese and like those actors, and
okay.
they say it's some of his best work, so.
I haven't heard anybody say that, but.
I've read a lot of people that have said that.
Okay.
So, maybe we're just in different echo chambers.
Maybe.
Or is that what that's called? Different.
Maybe we just were looking for confirmation bias would be more of the thing than our echo chamber, I think.
Yeah. I think I'm looking at it pretty fairly.
Sure.
And I think you're just trying to fit your narrative that it's too long.
I think that you hyped it up for probably a year and then couldn't even be bothered to watch it for 4 days after it came out.
First, I didn't have the internet at my mom's house. My mother does not have the internet.
You have a hotspot, right, on your phone?
I'm telling you, she doesn't even have the internet.
You have a hotspot on your phone.
You can't
right?
connect a Netflix TV. She doesn't have Netflix. She doesn't have any of that.
Okay.
So I had to wait until I got back. And I got here at midnight.
You're watching YouTube TV on the way home. You could have.
I got back at midnight.
Popped up Netflix.
I can't enjoy a movie on the interstate.
Either way.
A football game, you can just check in and out.
Either way. LSU, you're rooting for them.
I like Burrow. I like Coach O.
I thought you were going to say just over Georgia. Or I thought you said you're going to root for Georgia because you want two SEC teams again.
No, absolutely.
I was going to say, you can't say that.
No, I don't want that.
I feel like you shouldn't be rooting for LSU to win the national championship either. Although I do feel like everyone, for some reason, has a soft spot for LSU. I think we all kind of like Ed Orgeron. Or at least I think a lot of Tennessee fans. A lot of college football fans like Ed Orgeron, despite him trying to steal our recruits after he left us in the middle of the night with Kiffin.
I mean, I think he's pretty likable as a coach, though.
I don't know. I mean, he's a big dumb idiot. So, I mean, I guess he's a big dumb oaf.
People
so
like big dumb idiots.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons our show's so popular.
Right. Because you have me, and then you have a big oaf.
Yeah. I'll let the people decide on whether or not you're allowed to root for LSU.
I don't care what.
Because I don't know
say.
Who else you root for. Because, like I said, Clemson doesn't look likable when you have Dabo playing woe is me.
That's the last team I want to lose. I'd prefer Ohio State to win over Clemson. I hate Clemson.
I think Clemson's winning round one. I think Clemson beats either LSU or Ohio State in the first game is what I think is going to happen.
Well, they'll play LSU, won't they?
Most,
I mean, unless Georgia wins, I guess.
If LSU beats Georgia, LSU should be ranked number one in my opinion. Don't you think?
I don't know.
If LSU beats number four, they should definitely be number one.
I don't
know. In my opinion.
Well, the committee, that's interesting. I don't know what the committee will do there. Because LSU would be number two. I guarantee if they could have got Alabama in, the people that really talk about the bias and all that, if they could have gotten Alabama in, LSU would have stayed at two. So Bama and LSU would have had to play
each
other.
But Alabama wasn't getting in. Anybody that knows anything about college football knew that Alabama was done when Tua went out. Like, you can't argue for Alabama after that.
I think maybe if they had beaten Auburn, I think they might have gotten in.
No.
Yeah, I think
no,
so.
Anyone that knows absolutely anything about college football knew that Alabama was cooked.
Anybody that knows anything about college football knows they didn't want Utah in the college football playoff because that does absolutely nothing for ratings, does nothing for any of that. So
as we sit here on December 2nd, Utah has infinitely better chances of getting in the playoff than Alabama.
Well, they do
does.
Now because Bama lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bama's
anyone
done
with,
now.
Anyone with half a brain knew that.
Well, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with half a brain, you're acting like they struggled offensively. They put up 45 points.
Threw two pick sixes.
Yeah.
So subtract some of those points.
Well, which narrative are you going to ride? That the defense is no good or that the
– Both.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
Both. Both are true.
They did have two pick sixes. I mean, the offense put up 45 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean
– But if you subtract 14, they put up 31.
Still a decent day.
Solid.
The offense.
Yeah.
I mean
– Yeah, solid day.
It doesn't matter because they're not getting in at this point. I am.
As anyone with half a college football brain knew.
That's just not true. I knew that the committee did not want Utah in.
Okay.
You can't convince me that they want Utah
in. We'll
see if
Utah gets in over Oklahoma.
I'm thinking Oklahoma will get in.
Maybe. Does Lincoln Riley fit somewhere in this this tier one or tier two coaches? I guess he'd be more of a candidate for tier two. I'm asking how do we feel it. Who is tier one now? Is it just Dabo?
No.
You still put Saban in tier one? I think, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to look at the whole body of work.
Is it just Saban and Dabo? Is that it?
Is it, at the end of the day, maybe just the guys who have the most talent?
The guys at the best schools?
Like, do we think – obviously coaching matters, but I used to say it mattered like 50-50, and now I almost look at it like personnel means just so much more. Like, if you don't have the players there are coaches who get more from – like Dan Mullen, I think he's a really, really good coach at getting – squeezing everything out of his players. There are guys that can
do that. I think Saban lost the Alabama game for Alabama.
Do what now?
I think Saban lost the game. They had more talent than Auburn, so, like, personnel matters, but
– He got out-coached.
Coaching still matters, too. I don't know what the breakdown is, but I don't think it's just simply who has more talent.
No, I mean, it's not simply that, but I don't know if it's 50-50 or if it's 60-40. I don't know what the breakdown is, but at the end of the day, the teams that have the most talent win the championships.
Sure.
Always.
Sure.
You never see – you know the years when you have a good up-and-coming team and they've been good all year? Like the year Missouri's undefeated or like the year Kansas was undefeated. They still don't win the championship at the end of the day. West Virginia's, they don't win championships.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bama, it's Clemson, Florida – teams like that. Ohio State.
So who all's in tier one right now? Just Saban and Dabo? Is that it?
I mean, it depends on what you're looking at. I mean, because
I'm asking.
I think today you throw Coach O in there.
Really?
But like if you're looking just historically, he wouldn't be anywhere near it.
I know. I'm not just taking 1 year. I'm kind of looking for like maybe a 3 year sample or maybe trying to project. Like, is this LSU thing legit moving forward or is it Joe Burrow?
I think it's more Burrow. But today,
we think it's more Burrow, then I'm not going to put Ed O into tier one status.
No, again, it depends on what you're asking.
I do think it's fair to put him in tier two status now. which is something we never thought we would say.
He gets a lot out of his players, and they really want to play for him.
Right, but I don't trust him tactically or to handle timeouts or to handle game situations.
Do you trust him tactically? Tactically against, like, a Kirby?
We'll see what happens with Joe Brady. I think he's, which is a part of being a head coach. I think he's hired the right coordinators.
I think we'll see.
We'll see if they keep that passing game. He said, he was asked about somebody trying to hire Joe Brady away, and he said, we got a plan to keep him. So
I think Tier 1's still saving Dabo. I mean, I don't think we can just take 1 year and. Now, if Dabo goes and wins a title this year, then maybe you start having the conversation about is Dabo better than Saban.
Tier 2's gotten a lot different than it was last year or the year before. Like, you've had Peterson leave. We kind of talked about, you've had Lincoln Riley ascend. You've had guys that you felt good about, like David Shaw.
Yeah.
David Shaw was near the top of Tier 2, and I don't know if he's anywhere near it now.
I mean, at some point, don't you have to ask where Kyle Whittingham ranks?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he might be the new Pac-12 coach that's there.
He's been doing it for a long time.
He's taking Chris Peterson and David Shaw's spot, perhaps.
His favorite band is the Stones, too, which I like about him.
I bet he knows how to Spotify.
I would imagine. I mean, he's not 75.
Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend coming up next.
Your pet is...
This segment brought to you by Integracon Technologies, helping businesses both small and large. Integracon deals with some big-time clients, some high-end networking systems. You can get your IT needs, big banks, big healthcare systems, government entities, things like that. Or if you're just a small business and you need help protecting your business, you can do it with the resources at Integracon Technologies. Many small businesses, of course, prefer to outsource their IT needs with Integracon. You can grow as you go. Check out Integracon, based right here in Knoxville, for your IT needs. Integracon Technologies. We get IT.
All right, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Hurry, we're running out of time. Cam, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
All right, Cody, up first. Who were your winners of the weekend?
Number three winner for me, I'm going to go with Clay Helton at USC.
All right. Saving his job. Congratulations.
Saving his job. It wasn't easy. He had the burners on him all year, had the pressure on all year, had the flame lit under his seat, as they would say, because his seat was hot.
I get it.
Clay Helton finds a way to get USC to 8-4, could get 9 wins with the bowl game, got some talent coming back, good young quarterback. Things looking up a little for USC, although...
I bet they still wish they could have had Urban Meyer.
Yeah, and he's probably not completely out of the dark just yet. I mean, you still got people going around with the reports saying he's fired and stuff, but Bruce Feldman and other reputable journalists.
I don't think they'd come out and deny it if he was keeping his job, or if he was losing his job. So,
yeah, so I think he saved his job. Number two winner for me, I got to go with Gus Malzahn. Similar reason, but he beats Nick Saban for what, the fourth time? The fourth time Gus has beaten Saban.
Yep.
And he's done it yet again at home, and everybody's always talking about firing Gus, and Gus saves himself yet again. Will the Auburn fans ever stop talking about firing Gus? I mean, nobody's beaten Alabama more than Gus. Gus beats Bama, every couple of years. Beating him 4 times.
Yeah.
Nobody else can say that. Dabo. He's only beaten him twice, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, they don't play every year.
Sure.
What do you think? Where are you at on Gus?
I think Gus was fortunate to win that game, and I think Gus is not very good, and I think he's fine, but...
I mean, he's a good coach to have, though, isn't he?
I thought Alabama got screwed at the end of the first half by getting a second put back on there for them to kick a field goal. I thought that the pick sixes were pretty fortunate.
But
he won. It's fine. Like, yeah, he's good.
He got the thing over on Saban with the punter.
He did.
Lining the punter up out there.
He did.
But if you're Auburn, would you
you're
take
not doing
a chance?
Better. At, I mean, who are you going to get better?
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, no, like, that's fine. I mean, like, he's, yeah.
If you're an Auburn fan, are you happy with Gus, though? Or are you just
I think the days of Gus winning it, competing for national championships are over. I just don't think they'll get back there anytime soon, which that's fine, but you're not.
You don't think they could?
Nah, they're not going to pass Alabama. They can just hope to upset them.
I think they're kind of always right on the cusp of it.
Yeah, but I mean, they've only played
Gus
for one.
Has gotten them to two national championships.
One.
Well, I mean, with
OC,
Cam,
though,
that
right?
was him. I
yeah,
mean,
I mean, he was
that
the
was
OC,
him
though.
And Cam.
I know. I'm just
that wasn't Gene Chizik. I mean, I sure. know it was Gene Chizik.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just
yeah. They got him. Back
he got to one in 2000. What 13?
13.
It's been
that's when he turned him around from winning.
Right, but I mean, it's been 7 years. So I mean,
it's been a while. But he's beaten Alabama.
Yeah.
Since, occasionally they'll win 10 games.
Had a chance and then choked against Georgia in the SEC championship. So
yeah.
I mean. He's fine. I just don't think he is winning any, getting to the national championship anytime soon, getting to the playoff anytime soon. Okay. Is that your biggest winner? Or is that
my number
two?
One winner is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has.
What the hell did he do this year?
He broke the SEC passing record.
Okay, I didn't see that.
And he's. I mean, he's basically locked up the Heisman.
Okay,
they whipped Texas A&M pretty easy, but I mean, he's broken the SEC passing records.
Okay,
so
I didn't see that. So
it's a huge weekend.
Congrats
for him.
To Joe Burrow.
I don't,
he is your number one
I don't
winner
know exactly what records. I think he broke two or three different records. I think it was yards.
My winners of the weekend, number three, your king, Derrick Henry.
Oh, God.
Whenever that stat starts circulating about, oh, wow, 2,000 total yards the last 16 games, and everyone's like, wait, it's December. It's Derrick Henry time. He's a big winner of the weekend. Early fumble, doesn't matter. Give him the ball. Get out of the way. King Henry and the Titans are here. Bend the knee. Number two, onside kicks. I went back to Thursday night and Thanksgiving as well. But onside kicks, they're back. For a while, like no one was able to get any. My man Young Ho from the Falcons, he got three.
Young Wei.
Oh. Am I pronouncing it wrong?
Yeah, it's pronounced Young Wei.
Young Ho with three onside kicks. You had the Patriots get one.
Racist.
Or almost get one. You had the Panthers get one. Onside kicks made a big return this weekend. Number one, again, I included Thanksgiving. I went with Michigan basketball to go from unranked to number four in the country. And Jim Harbaugh and Michigan football sucks again. Michigan, officially a basketball school. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to Juwan Howard. They are the biggest winners of the Thanksgiving weekend. Shout out to them. Cody, hit me with your losers.
Number three loser, I'm going with the NFC East. Dallas sucks. Philly sucks. And we've got multiple good teams in both the NFC North and the NFC West. This is a year when I really wish the division winner did not get in out of the NFC East. Because I don't think they're going to matter. I think either one of them are going to lose their first game. Dallas or Philly. Whoever comes out of there. It's just not good. The NFC East is no good. You lose to the Bills and the Dolphins. I'd much rather see the Rams get in over any those teams, and it's just not possible. So maybe there's a little bias coming from me because I'm such a big Rams fan, but still yet. NFC East sucks. Number two loser for me, I'm going with Nick Saban. We've talked about it at length on the show. But Nick Saban coming out of the weekend looking like a loser, looking like he's lost his edge. I don't know for sure that he has, but that's certainly the narrative. And not a good weekend for him. Alabama misses the college football playoff for the first time. Number one loser for me over the weekend, my own personal fire fest, the Emerald Coast Classic. What the hell was that? Why was that even a tournament? We couldn't watch any of the games on TV. I mean, people are sending YouTube links to watch the game. There's no coverage. It looks like we're in an empty high school gym. There's no broadcasters. Where was it? I don't even know where it was. Somewhere in Florida?
I believe it was close to, was it, was going to say Dayton. That's not a place.
Dayton. It could have been
in Florida place. I don't think that's a place. Daytona. Daytona? Is it Daytona? I don't think it was Daytona. I don't know what the hell I'm
talking about. It could have been in Honduras, based on what I saw on the television. No broadcasters, no nothing. You got a top 20 matchup against VCU, and it's just nothing. It's trash.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the gym.
That was bad.
And some jerk tried to correct me and said,
it's in Niceville, Florida.
It didn't look very
campus
nice to me.
Campus of Northwest Florida State College.
Did not look very nice to me. Awful. The fire fest of college basketball tournaments.
Is that your number one?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I thought that was number two. My three biggest losers of the weekend. Number three, I went with Virginia Tech. You had a chance to win the ACC. Is it the Coastal Division?
Yes.
You had a chance to win the Coastal Division against your rival that you own. You had not lost to them since 2003, and Justin Fuente went in and lost as favorites. That's unfortunate. That's a big loss. He had a chance to salvage himself. Because, I mean, we've talked about Justin Fuente and Virginia Tech being kind of a bust and a flop, and like, wow, we thought this guy was going to be great. He had quietly rallied and got Virginia Tech back in the top 25 and had a chance to win the ACC Coastal Division, and say he loses to his rivals, Virginia and Bronco Mendenhall, for the first time since 2003.
Weren't you a big Fuente guy?
I liked Fuente. Yeah, I wanted Fuente in 2015. I don't really know if he stinks.
Who was the basketball coach you wanted?
Will Wade. Winner.
Will Wade and Justin Fuente. That used to be your combo, right?
Yep.
That's right.
That's who I won in 2015.
And we ended up with Barnes.
And Pruitt.
Pruitt.
Yeah. Well, we kept Butch and let him run into the ground, and then obviously Pruitt.
I don't know who I'd take in that scenario.
I would take Pruitt and Barnes at this point.
Yeah, I mean, based on the time, though.
I would rather have had Will Wade and Fuente over Butch, though. But either way, Fuente's not great, if that's the point. Like, yeah, he's not.
Not everybody's Bronco Mendenhall.
Amen to that, brother. Number two for me, the second biggest losers of the Thanksgiving weekend, I'll go with Ole Miss players. They lose the Egg Bowl. They embarrass themselves with the whole dog peeing thing, which is funny, but it's going to be something they're remembered for. And then their kicker blowing an extra point. That's one of your all-time gaffes. That's going to get played every year. That's going to get named. That's going to live on in Egg Bowl lore. And then you lose your coach, and you're sad, and you don't want to lose your coach, but now he's gone. That makes you big losers.
You live in Mississippi.
And you live in Oxford, Mississippi. That has to suck, too. But my number one biggest losers of the weekend, I'm going to go Nick Saban and just whining coaches in general. A lot of them this weekend. A lot of guys getting embarrassed by their rivals. A lot of guys being asked questions and getting mad about it. Mike Leach, Dabo, Jim Harbaugh, spearheaded by Nick Saban, talking about unfair things. Just really unfair that they tricked me with their punter. Just really unfair.
It's a bad look.
To lose the game with 12 men on the field, my God.
You know who you don't see complaining?
Couldn't be us. We had 13.
You know a coach that wasn't complaining after the weekend?
Jeremy Pruitt.
That's right. That's who I was going to say.
Okay, who were you going to say?
Jeremy Pruitt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, because his team won.
His team won.
Six of the last seven.
We have to be on, what, the second? Is it third longest winning streak in the SEC? Is that correct? We have to be, right?
Maybe.
Behind LSU and Georgia?
When did Georgia lose? Yeah.
They lost to South Carolina after they played us.
Yeah, we got to be the third. Yeah.
Feels good.
It does feel good. Can't believe I wanted to fire the guy.
Play some last call after the break.